Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Once again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on home remedies when we come back. 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, you know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law. When they put into our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words, it says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." Well, in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took our silver coin out of circulation. Then, in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents have introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks to the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system. They've given us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coins. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our country, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons that we teach in our Mosaic Law School, conducted twice a year here at the Law School in Isabella, Missouri. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It doesn't cost you anything. Maybe it's not for you. So it doesn't cost anything to call and ask for that free general law CD package. Just call and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. 4967. Now, our Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult homeschool. So you don't have to come here, you can do it at home. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, and download that free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page and you can download it right there. All right, we're reviewing a book called Home Remedy or Natural Remedy Encyclopedia, written by Vance Ferrell, F-E-R-R-E-L-L. It's $85. It's worth every penny and then some. Let me take you through the index and show you how the book works and why I think that it's so valuable for only $85. I know when you go to buy a book and say, "Oh my God, I got to spend $85." Well, it isn't a book that you would sit down and read like you would read the Reader's Digest or USA Today. It's a book that is an encyclopedia that contains the answers to the questions that you have. I don't normally sit down on the toilet and read the dictionary. And this isn't the kind of book that you're going to sit down on the toilet and while you're doing your business, you're going to be reading the encyclopedia. But when something comes up, what do you do about it? That's the bottom line. And oftentimes, just knowing that you have at your fingertips the answer to the riddle, it isn't that you can't carry it out. The problem you have is, well, I don't know what to do about that. I don't know what the answer is to that. People file for bankruptcy because they don't know how to pay their bills. Hell, if the guy knew how to pay his bills, he would have paid them. He goes to bankruptcy as a last resort. He doesn't know what else to do. He doesn't know why he got into debt, how he got into debt, or how to get out of debt. I never have filed for bankruptcy. I know how to get out of debt. I don't need bankruptcy. Truth of the matter is, you don't either, but then you may have to do it because you don't know what else to do. That's why I teach a business school. I know how to make $1 million, and I teach students how to do that. But you know, if you knew how to make $1 million, you'd already be a millionaire, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd already have $1 million. So I want to tell you the answer to the riddle, or where you can go get the answer to the riddle. And this book is written for dummies. This is what I like about it, is that dummies like me, who don't know a whole lot about medicine, don't know a whole lot about the natural or essential oils, or a whole lot about disease. You know, I'm a plumber by trade. I'm a farmer. I'm not brain dead now, not yet. You know, I might still function. I just need somebody to point it out to me, and if somebody points it out to me, I think I can solve that problem. Now, there's a tremendous amount of information in here, and what I like to do is to read the index. I only read 236 words a minute. So handicapped the way I am, I have to read the index so that I can determine what parts of the book do I want to read? What is it that I want to know? So today I picked out two topics, diabetes and autism. And I said, well, what do I do for autism and what do I do for diabetes? I'm 70 and I'm a prime candidate for diabetes. Number one, I want to avoid diabetes, but that isn't very likely. You see, once you get to be 20 years old, your eating habits have already been established. You're not going to change those eating habits. It ain't going to happen. Forget that. You are going to continue eating the way you have always eaten because that's what tastes good. Once in a while, when I'm sitting down in a restaurant, I'll listen to somebody order, and he'll order grits. Oh, my God. Grits. Yeah, that's those Southern boys, you know, they eat grits. Fresh Yankees, you know, when somebody orders grits, it makes us want to puke. To those Southerners down there, they think grits is good to eat, and so they order grits. And those boys down the South ain't going to change their habits and quit eating grits, and you Yankees aren't going to stop your eating habits and start eating grits. That ain't going to happen. So we're stuck with our eating habits, and that's because that's what Mom and Dad taught us. So if you learn how to eat cold cereal with skim milk on it, that's what you're going to eat, cold cereal with skim milk. Now, I eat a little of that cold cereal once in a while. I don't put skim milk on it. I put on cream. But nevertheless, I don't eat very much of it. I eat hot cereal. And that's because that's what my granny gave me when I was growing up. When I was a little kid, we didn't have Kellogg's Pep and Wheaties. And we ate oatmeal. And if you were lucky, you had some raisins in it. And on an ordinary day, it was oatmeal. And I was raised during World War II. You didn't have sugar on that crap. I mean, that stuff is gross. But I could choke it down. So we'd have cream of wheat one day. We'd have cornmeal mush the next. We'd have oatmeal the next, you know. Maybe we'd have Ralston the next. And so I got used to eating hot cereal. And that was good for me because those hot cereals contain vitamins and minerals that these processed cold cereals don't. So you're going to continue eating these processed cold cereals because they taste good and that's what you're used to. And you're going to deplete your vitamins and minerals and you're going to come down with these diseases. And that's why this book is so good. Because now when you come down with this disease, you come down with diabetes, you're going to have pain, suffering, and anguish. You're going to have symptoms. And that's what you have to motivate you to change your eating habits. You've got to have pain. Common sense isn't going to do it for you. Now, you already know about white sugar and white flour. See, you've already read Reader's Digest. Hell, you're not dumb, you know. But you're going to keep right on eating those Krispy Kreme donuts and then that chocolate and the frosting on them until you get so much pain that you have to go to the doctor who's going to tell you you've got diabetes. And those sores that won't heal up on your ankle, okay, that's diabetic sores, and we're going to have to amputate your foot. Now, if that doesn't motivate you to change your eating habits, nothing's going to change it, which is why I told you that no need changing your dietary habits. It would be good if you did. Oh, that would really be great. But this book isn't written for people who have common sense and who can do what has to be done before you get sick. This book is written for people who don't have self-discipline, who cannot change their eating habits, and they're going to get sick. And then when the pain is there, there's a motivator that says, okay, now what do you want to do about that? All right, so that's where we're at. Now, it's written in such a way that with the index, it has sections in it. There's about 30 of these sections, like your urinary tract. That's number 6. And it talks about your urine, kidneys, and bladder. Then you've got your respiratory. That's number 7. And it says page 259, breathing. Page 262, bronchial tubes. Page 264, lungs. Page 269, pleura. Then there's cardiovascular, neuromental, skeletal, muscular, endocrine system, lymphatics, reproductive, you know, reproductive, breasts, menstrual problems, female pelvic organs, male pelvic organs. You know, when you develop some kind of a symptom, and you'll be sitting there saying, oh, my God, and I urinated and it hurt real bad. Well, then you want to look up your urinary tract. What's going on here? Well, maybe you've got VD. Wouldn't you like to figure that out? You know, it doesn't have to be VD. It could be diabetes. It could be 15 other things. And here's the beauty. As dumb as I am, I can look at this index, follow it to the page, read the article. And all the articles are fairly short and to the point. It's not a long, drawn-out treatise, you know, written for medical doctors in medical school. It's just written for lay people, you know, Sally Housewife, and then people like me, dumb. And we can read this, and we can figure out, oh, my God, that's what I've got. The other day, my boy came in, and he said, oh, my God, I got this terrible headache. I'm dying. Take me to the hospital. Now, we listened to his symptoms, and there's 4 of these really critical symptoms that you get when you have a stroke. He had this god-awful headache. He said, it is so bad, I want to die. Now, he has headaches every once in a while, but, you know, normally he doesn't say, God, I'm feeling so bad, I want to kill myself, or I want to die. And then there's 3 or 4 other major symptoms here, and he had all 4 of these symptoms, you know, like they tell you on on television, you know, you're watching TV, and they say, hey, if you get these symptoms, there's a golden hour. You want to get this guy to the hospital as soon as possible, tell him you suspect stroke, and have him start checking you out for stroke. And he had all four symptoms for stroke, so we rushed him to the hospital, and they took him in, did all the things that they need to do. And sure enough, he didn't have a stroke. They checked him out, and they said, nope, the guy isn't having a stroke. There's something else wrong with it. So they looked him all over, and they gave him CAT scans and did all those things that doctors do. And when they got all through, the headache went away, and he came back home and never did figure out what was wrong with him. My daughter did that one time. She had a lump on her back. Took her to the doctor, took her to the chiropractor, x-rayed her, did all these things. Couldn't figure out what was wrong, and about a week later, it went away by itself. That's normally what happens. Your body is designed to heal itself, and it will. All you got to do is give it vitamins and minerals and amino acids, and it'll take care of itself. In fact, if you did that up front, you wouldn't get sick to start with. But remember, we're not dealing with smart people that do those things up front. We're dealing with dummies like you and me, and we're going to keep eating Krispy Kremes until we get pain. And then when we get that pain, that'll motivate us to go to the hospital. Now, when you get to the hospital, these guys, they don't know what's wrong with you either. So they've got a lot of diagnostic tests, and they can tell you oftentimes what's wrong with you. Well, about 20% of the time, they get it wrong. 80% of the time, they're right. 20% of the time, they're wrong. And on some of these diseases, they're wrong half the time. Not all the time, but about half the time. Well, hell, if you're going to go to the hospital and get a diagnosis that's wrong half the time, you can flip a coin and figure that out. You don't have to be real smart to do that one. Just flip a coin. Head says, yeah, I've got cancer, and tail says, no, I don't. But you can diagnose yourself by looking at this index and looking at the common symptoms. Now, I'm glad my boy didn't have a stroke. That's not good in anybody's language. But we were prepared for it. We saw the symptoms. We saw them here in the encyclopedia, and it said, hey, listen, you know, if you've got a stroke coming on here, you need to get to the hospital quick. Because you may have an aneurysm, you may have a broken blood vessel, and you know they can operate on that and stop the blood, and they can stop the stroke, and they can save further damage. I mean, that's pretty valuable stuff, I'd say. So knowing what these symptoms are, you know, when somebody gets this god-awful bad headache, and you say, oh, well, just take two aspirins and go back to bed. Well, hang on a second. You know, if this guy's having a stroke, by the time you people wake up to that fact day after tomorrow, it's too late. This guy's permanently brain damaged. Whereas if you could get him to the hospital, you know, you might be able to save that guy. You know, save him from being crippled or something else. All right, so tuck that one away in your heart. And so we've got this index over here, and it's very user-friendly. Now, I whipped over here to autism because I'm kind of interested in crazy diseases, and diseases like autism is one of them that tickles my fancy here. Just a short article. Let me read it to you. Just kind of common sense here. Listen to this. Symptoms are very obvious before the age of 3. They're marked by a marked unresponsiveness to other people and surroundings, indifference to affection, and withdrawn into oneself. Sometimes strange actions, such as pounding feet while sitting, continual rocking back and forth, silent sitting for long periods of time, bursts of hyperactivity while he bites or pounds on his body. Causes. There are about 100,000 autistic children in America. They look very normal in appearance, but in addition to the above symptoms, they have learning disabilities, and they're often mentally disabled. A rare few have astounding abilities in mathematics or music. These are called savants. Now, in some instances, autistic children have recovered, usually during adolescence. Some people progress well and later lose what was gained. Nutritional improvement appears to be the best route for natural treatment. And if you have an autistic child, give him a high vitamin B complex supplementation plus other nutritional factors. Treatment. Dr. Bernard Rimland, a research psychologist in San Diego, found that 50% of his patients improved when placed on a mega vitamin therapy. The vitamins which especially helped were niacin and pantothenic acid, B6 and C. When improvement did not occur, additional B6 was given along with magnesium to offset the B6, and then improvement was seen. As soon as the vitamin therapy ceased, the symptoms returned. As a result of vitamin therapy, there was a reduction in tantrums, there was an improvement in speech, better sleep patterns were achieved, increased alertness, and greater sociability. Alan Cott, MD, a New York psychiatrist, gave 200 milligrams of pangamic acid to autistic children and decided improvement frequently occurred. Give a nourishing high vitamin diet and minerals. The diet should be high in fiber, 50 to 75% raw fruits and vegetables. No junk food, no processed, no sugar, no dairy, no wheat, no white flour of any kind should be given, and avoid fried and fatty foods and most meats. Hey, that's what all of us should be doing anyway. You ever notice how they wait until after you have the problem and then they tell you, here's the solution? For instance, when you have a heart attack, the first thing the doctor is going to tell you is stop eating pig. Well, did it ever occur to us that maybe we shouldn't be eating pig to start with? And then maybe you wouldn't get the heart attack. That's kind of a wild new concept. But again, remember that most of us are not going to take action before the fact. So what I'm zeroing in on this week is that, hey, listen, if you're like most of us, you're not going to give up eating pig. You're going to continue right on, you know, with those the pepperoni pizzas until you finally have a stroke or you have some kind of a debility, and then you'll be open to a solution. Now, these children already have autism. So the question arises, what do you do for them? Well, nutrition is the best treatment that we've discovered so far. You've already screwed up the neuroconnectors. Now, what screws up these neuroconnectors, most of us that are in the field believe that it's caused by vaccinations. And the reason we think that is because there was no autism in 1900. The first autism case showed up in 1943. At that time, we were giving two vaccines. The thing that's suspicious is that now we're giving 35 vaccines and that autism has gone from 0 to 1 in 67 or 68 children will develop autism. And the one thing that we all do is we vaccinate our kids. And I've said many times, I said, if you want to test this out, if you'll go down to the Amazon jungle and pick out a native tribe that's never had vaccinations and go in and check them out and see how many of them have autism, I think the answer will be 0. Then go to the United States and take a look at vaccination. How many of these children who have autism have been vaccinated? And I think the answer will be 100%. I have never heard of autism in an unvaccinated child. Have you? If you have, send me a letter. I'd like to hear about it. I want to know how many unvaccinated children have autism. That's simple enough. An old doctor back in 1909 made this observation. He said, I have never seen a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. Len Horowitz, just recently in a book, and I mentioned this to you the other day, wrote a book called Ebola Viruses, and it's called Viruses and Something Else and Ebola. And then he said the same thing. He says, I haven't seen any cases of cancer in unvaccinated people. In fact, he goes a step further and he says, the vaccines are screwed up to such a degree and they're contaminated on purpose. He thinks it's on purpose. That's one of those conspiracy theorists. He thinks they're doing it intentionally. And then he said, as a result of that, you got prodigious amounts of cancer, and you're going to have more. So I look at that, and you know, I want to avoid that, so I avoid vaccine. So if you want to avoid autism, I think if you avoided vaccines, you'd probably do the job. You're not going to do that, are you? Okay. Now, when your kid develops autism, past tense, now what are we going to do? Well, with these neurological diseases, you can't fix neurological diseases, and if you can, I don't know how. You can improve it somewhat, but you can't cure it. Unlike diabetes, we're going to talk about that next, but diabetes, you can cure that. That's a disease that's caused by poisoning. If we stop poisoning you and start feeding you, the diabetes will go away. Now, for those of you that have diabetes and you've had it for 20 years and you're on insulin, you've been on insulin for 20 years, your pancreas is probably totally shut down and you're probably dead meat. That's my take on it. If you go to the doctor and he says, you've got diabetes, I'm going to put you on insulin, if you stop right there and you say, no, sir, I'm going to treat it holistically. I'm going to treat it naturally. I'm going to treat it with diet. Oh, you can solve that. You can solve that diabetes problem in a heartbeat. And I'll show you how that works here in just a minute. So some of it has to do with the final destruction of your pancreas. And what happens with diabetes, you start taking insulin and then your pancreas shuts down. There's no need for your pancreas to make insulin if you've got plenty of insulin in your body. So when you start the insulin treatment, that usually shuts your pancreas down, and then over time, you can't revive it. And if you can revive it, I don't know how. You know, if somebody can revive it, I wouldn't say it can't be done, but I don't know how to do it. Talk to Dr. Schultz. He might. It might be possible. So a lot of the time, when you go to the allopathic medical doctor first, you will finish screwing things up. For instance, if you've got breast cancer and you go in and have your breasts cut off and your lymph system cut out, well, that's certainly a treatment, you know, and if it solves your problem, well, okay, then that's where you're at. But, you know, your lymph system is plugged up, and that's why you've got those lumps in your breast. If you'll clean your lymph system out, the breast's lumps will go away. I know that because my wife gets those lumps in her breast, and in every case, it's caused by her lymph system being plugged up, and so she unplugs it with barley green. I'll pass that one on to you, barley green. There's other brand names for it. All you're talking about is dried barley. Grass, no, just barley as a grass. It grows up, you cut it off, chop it up real fine, dry it, and then you put it in a glass of water. God, it tastes awful. I tested it. If you can drink that stuff in water, I mean, you're tough, really tough. I have to put it in my food and drown the taste of it with balsamic vinegar. I can do that. Okay, now getting back here now to autism here. No junk or processed food, no dairy, wheat, or white flour. You want to flood this kid with all of the nutrients that you can, and you're going to see improvement. Now, how much improvement? Well, in some cases, it virtually goes away. And the guy comes out normal. We'd say that's a cure, although there's oftentimes, even in those that you know, well, that guy looks like he's pretty cured. He's actually not quite 100%. You restored him 75, 80, 85, 90%. Yeah, but he ain't quite all there. On the other hand, it may only improve by 25 or 30%. Well, 25 or 30% is better than nothing. You know, anything that you can do will be a step in the right direction. So if you have to vaccinate your kids, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. If the kid develops autism, okay, now you're dealing with the problem. There's a section here, it's on page 333, that deals with autism. There's other sources that can help you with autism, I mean, once it's already developed. But, I can, you know, for $85, I couldn't think of a better answer to the problem. If my kid had autism, I'd want this book so that I could see, well, here's what I can do. And in hell, anybody can do this. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't even have to go to the doctor. You don't have to get on welfare, food stamps, or go out and buy $1,000 a month hospitalization policy or health insurance policy. Hell, you can do this yourself just by diet. You can control nearly all of these diseases with diet. And if you really want to kickstart it, you've got essential oils, and you've got vitamins and minerals, and you've got herbs. And there's a section here on herbs. I'm going to touch on that herbs section here pretty shortly when I get a minute. But I want to flip over here now to diabetes. This diabetes is pretty heavy-duty stuff. Diabetes has doubled in this country in the last 20 years. They think it's going to double in the next 20. I really don't want to get diabetes, and so we need to figure out, well, what are the symptoms? The first thing I looked at here was the symptoms, and I looked at this and said, I don't have diabetes because I don't have these symptoms. But if I develop these symptoms, now I'm going to get suspicious. Oh, my God, I'm coming down with diabetes. Okay, then there is a nutritional dietary modality to follow to cure it. I need to strengthen my pancreas, and I need to quit poisoning myself. What do I need to do? And, you know, as dumb as I am, as a plumber, for crying out loud, I can follow these directions. Now, if I can follow these directions, and I'm a high school dropout, surely all of you guys with college degrees now, been to college and you're real smart boys and got little pieces of paper on the wall over here, surely you guys can do it. What I actually observe, though, in life is the people with the degrees on the wall, smart as a whip, you know, for their specialty, just dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to anything else in life. People that are just really geniuses in law are medical incompetents. It doesn't have to be a medical incompetent to read this book. This is a book written for dummies just like you and me. Now, hang on, we're at the halfway point here, and I've got to give you a reminder, and we're going to come back and take a look at diabetes. Now, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. In the Law Hour, an editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour, an editorial review, may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour, an editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinion of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, or call us direct. And the number is 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about the natural home remedies, and you can get a copy of it from heirloomseeds.com, heirloomseeds.com, also known as Baker Creek Seeds in Mansfield, Missouri. They're the good folks that produce all of those open pollinated seeds that we recommend from time to time. If you don't have one of their 5 gallon, they come in 5 gallon buckets now, 5 gallon bucket of open pollinated seeds. I think it costs $235 if I remember right. And I forgot how many seeds are in there now, but it's, you know, something like 100 different varieties of common open pollinated reproductive seeds, heirloom seeds are known as. And they've got several other packages. I mean, if you want to spend $75 or something like that, you can. You know, you got to get their catalog. And we recommend that. But the day may come when you'll need those seeds to plant in your own lawn or your own backyard and feed yourself with. And so we always recommend that. But in addition to that, they're kind of interested in health and nutrition up there at Baker Creek Seeds. And they sell this book. In fact, they handle a bunch of books. They're in the book business. Don't send your money here to me. Don't call me and tell me that you want to buy this book, because I don't handle it. I don't sell it. I don't want to get involved in it. I just want to report on it. So that's why I'm doing a report here this week on Home Remedies Encyclopedia. And you get it from heirloomseeds.com. Let's just try that. It's $85, worth every penny. Here's diabetes. The symptoms to diabetes insipidus, diabetes insipidus, causes extreme thirst and enormous quantities of urine, regardless of how much water is consumed. So you drink a little bit of water, and you've got lots of urine. You get dry mouth from this. I mean, you're just constantly thirsty. Okay, well, then that's telling you something. Your body is giving you a symptom here. You got diabetes coming on. Now, that may be the symptoms for something else, but at least go to the doctor, you know, and have him do some tests, and when he gets through, he'll come back and say, okay, you've got diabetes, and I'm going to put you on insulin. Here's your prescription. And he'll rope you in, and you will be a cash cow for the medical and pharmaceutical industry for the rest of your life. That's what he wants. Now, from my point of view, you know, just looking at this from the point of view of Joe Sixpack, I don't want to be a cash cow for the doctor. I mean, he needs to pay his boat payments and airplane payments just like I do, but he's going to have to get out and work and get it from somebody else, because I'm going to give it to him. What I'm going to do is I'm going to treat this with nutrition. And so there's two ways to go at this now. You can take the doctor's prescription and shoot up with insulin, or you can treat it nutritionally. Very few of you people are going to take a look at the causes of this diabetes and then avoid it. Don't get it. A few of you may do that. God love you if you do. That's a smart thing to do. But remember, this is the Home Remedies Encyclopedia. This is the book that you go to after you get diabetes, not before. This isn't the book that tells you how to prevent it. This is the book that says, okay, now that you've given yourself diabetes, now here's how you cure it. Here's how you treat it naturally, you know, so you don't have to go to the doctor. Now, once you go to the doctor and he gives you the diagnosis, he's got a remedy, and it's called, we're going to give you insulin. Now, here's the problem with that. Once you get hooked on this, it's like getting hooked on nicotine, caffeine, or alcohol. Once your body gets to taking this insulin in, it becomes dependent upon it. Then you got to kick the insulin habit. Now, your body makes insulin. Does it every day in and day out. Doesn't have any problem. You got a thing called the pancreas. And this pancreas is a little organ, and it produces the insulin that you need. Now, you can consume 3 teaspoons of this processed sugar a day, and your pancreas can take care of that like a shot. 3 teaspoons a day. Now, I don't know how much a teaspoon weighs, but that would be 3 teaspoons times 365 days would be 1,095. It's about 1,100 teaspoons a year. Now, I'll bet you that's about 5 pounds of sugar, maybe 10 a year, which, you know, 100 years ago, that's how much the average Joe Sixpack was eating, about 5 pounds a year. But as time progressed along, sugar tastes so good. I mean, you know, a little bit's good. You know, twice as much has got to be twice as good. So we got to eating 10 pounds and then 20 and 30. Today, we Americans are eating 135 pounds of sugar per capita. And we get most of it out of our soda pop. But you don't need to drink soda pop to get sugar. Everything that you eat coming out of the store has got sugar and salt in it to make it taste good. A little MSG added in, a few other chemicals and additives. That all makes it taste real good. Now, the problem is, over time, the sugar overwhelms your pancreas, and then it doesn't function. Doesn't put out enough insulin. Can't handle the job. And then you're going to develop these diabetic symptoms, and then as you get diabetes, the doctor's going to say, well, I got a treatment for that. We'll just shoot you up with insulin. Then your pancreas will shut down altogether, and then you're insulin dependent, hooked on insulin, they got a cash cow forever. If that's what you want, go to the doctor and take insulin. That's what my mother-in-law did. She was diabetic. She had a bottle, you know, a little vial in the refrigerator. And she had to shoot up every day. So if that's what you want, then you're on the right track. Now, if you don't want to do that, then we got to have a different program. Now, this type 1, insulin-dependent or juvenile diabetes, excessive hunger, thirst, urination, depression, weakness, blurred vision, dry mouth, and vomiting. Diabetes mellitus, type 2, maturity onset diabetes, unusual thirst, frequent urination, general weakness, obesity, skin disorders, boils, blurred vision, and dry mouth. Now, this onset diabetes, you know, when you're an adult, this is what we're looking for. Watch out for unusual thirst, frequent urination, general weakness, obesity, skin disorders, boils, blurred vision, and dry mouth. If you got any of those symptoms over there, you got a diabetes problem. Now, here's what caused it. Diabetes is a major problem, and entire books have been written on the subject. Of the two types of diabetes, diabetes insipidus is the more rare and is caused by an inadequately functioning pituitary hormone or kidney, which somehow cannot respond properly to it. This diabetes mellitus is the third largest killer in the U.S. Okay, so you've got heart disease, number one, cancer, number two, diabetes is number three. Okay. So diabetes is the third largest killer in the United States and is caused by a defect in the production of insulin by your pancreas. Without insulin, your body can't utilize glucose, which is an important blood sugar. A blood glucose level of 180 milligrams percent causes excess sugar to spill over into your urine and make it sweet. Mellitus means sweet. So diabetes comes from a Greek word for flow through, since diabetics produce so much urine. Now, you know, your body has a number of ways of getting rid of the liquids that you take in. Urine is one, perspiration is two, and your breathing is three. See, every day, your breath, you know, just breathing, in 24 hours, you expel 1 quart of water just by breathing. And then you perspire. Your body is constantly perspiring. This is why your clothes get dirty and they smell bad. So you're always perspiring. You know, some parts of your body, usually your underarms perspire more than your fingertips, but all of your body has these pores in it, and you're always perspiring. Yeah, you're just sitting here, and you're not really sweating. It isn't running off of you. When you get hot and you're working outside and it's running, dripping off your nose, now that's really perspiring. I used to work in the woods, and when I'd work in the woods, we would perspire so much that we would each drink about 2 gallons of water a day. The cat skinner would only drink about a gallon. He's not as physically active. All of us guys that are sitting chokers, running up and down those hillsides in 100-degree weather, oh, my God. Every time the cat comes up, you drink water. So you're constantly drinking water and never urinating. I would go all day and never urinate. All of that water is coming right out through your pores of your skin. Yeah, I didn't need to urinate at all. It's all coming out. Now, on the other hand, when you've got diabetes, you see, all of the liquids that you're drinking, you're not perspiring, and it's all coming out your urinary tract. That's why that's giving you a clue. You know, your perspiration's closing down. That's because your body's not functioning quite right, and you're urinating a lot. And so if you've got a lot of urine, you're constantly going to the bathroom. All right, now that's giving you a signal. Pay attention to it now. Now, some people can develop diabetes mellitus as a result of stress, obesity, or pregnancy. Certain medicinal drugs can also cause diabetes. Oral contraceptives, that's the pill, adrenal corticosteroids, phenytoin, or thiazide diuretics. A diet high in sugar and white flour can lead to diabetes. Parasites, especially in children, can also do it. And hypothyroidism can cause diabetes. So it is of interest that people who eat a lot of sugar eventually cannot taste or smell the sugar. So they pour on more sugar. And type 2 diabetes sufferers also lack this sugar tasting discernment. So leave off the sugar and learn to enjoy the natural flavors in your food. Yeah, I hear you. Just go ahead and eat all that bland crap and leave the Krispy Kremes alone. Now, you're not going to do this, as I said before, until there's an absolute necessity for it. Now, when you get down here to the number three killer in the country, now you may come to the conclusion that you need to take some action. Now, God created a thing called honey, H-O-N-E-Y. Honey represents about 0.5% of what we use as a sweetener. Now, there are other sweeteners, and so people, they automatically go to these artificial sweeteners. Then you get this aspartame disease. That's a deadly poison. That stuff turns to formaldehyde. I think you'd be better off with CNH white death than you would be with artificial sweetener, but you know, that's another story for another day. But now, honey, natural honey, H-O-N-E-Y, if it hasn't been heated, because it has an enzyme in it, just like milk, and when you go above 132 degrees in heat, you kill the enzyme. And this honey, when you kill the enzyme, is just like milk, when you kill the enzyme, becomes a poison. So I have people telling me you shouldn't be eating honey and you shouldn't be drinking milk and so on. God gave us a land of milk and honey. It's just that they weren't pasteurized. So if you're on pasteurized milk or if you're eating pasteurized honey, well, then I'd lay off that stuff. That's going to kill you. But instead of using sugar, I use honey. You know, just natural raw honey. And I don't need very much natural raw honey to sweeten things, and I got a pretty good sweet tooth, you know. And then I avoid white deaths. You know, when I'm in the restaurant and I'm going to drink a cup of coffee, once in a while I'll have a cup of coffee, usually try decaf. I like to put a teaspoon of honey in it and then a little cream. And if you're like I am and you like to have a cup of coffee once in a while, and I say once in a while, or a Coca-Cola once in a while, twice a year I drink a Coca-Cola, 9 teaspoons of sugar in every 12-ounce container, 3 times more than my pancreas can digest in a day. I do it every once in a while just to test my pancreas and see if it's working all right. All right, now, if you can get to the point where you've got these symptoms over here now and you need to take action, here's the treatment. Here's what we do to treat it. Stop eating sugar, white flour products, greasy food, meat, eggs, cheese, excess vegetable oil, as well as rancid nuts and seeds. Then totally avoid tobacco and alcohol and those who use it because it restricts circulation and it will aggravate your condition. Now, this alcohol turns to sugar. When you drink booze, it turns to sugar. Isn't that special? All right, so now you've already got diabetes, and the last thing you need is more alcohol. So other than Passover and the little bit that you need for the Passover, I would avoid alcohol. Tobacco doesn't help you any. It doesn't help you a bit. That's more toxin. That's just more poison you're putting in you have to overcome. Remember that the tobacco, now the nicotine, destroys the vitamin C. And boys and girls, vitamin C is one of the vitamins you need here to combat diabetes. Okay. So I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings. You've got to stop smoking and stop drinking, stop eating white sugar, and cut out the Krispy Kremes. No. Now, we don't have to do this until the symptoms overwhelm us. Remember that? Now, let me tell you, I went through the cancer treatment, and I had cancer, and I'm going to tell you, heads up right now, if there's any way that you can avoid cancer, let me advise you to do that. If there isn't any way, and then you just have to get cancer and reinvent the wheel like I did, well, then you're going to suffer some pain, suffering, and anguish. But I'll assure you this, boy, there's enough pain in cancer to make you swear off a lot of stuff. And once you go through that pain, by God, I think you can do it. All right, so try this. Eat smaller meals. If necessary, eat them more frequently. Don't eat very much, but eat more often. Chew your food thoroughly. Do not eat late in the evening. Overeating can induce diabetes or increase it once you've contracted it. So now you got to watch your diet. Now you can't lard it on, you know, like you can when you're 30. Now you got to watch your weight. Vegetable broths and fresh fruit are nourishing. A high-carbohydrate, high-fiber diet will reduce the need for insulin. A low-fiber diet can bring on diabetes. It will also lower the amount of fat in your blood. So get your protein from vegetable sources. That's from nuts. Nuts are just full of protein. Onions and green beans appear to lower blood sugar. A diet high in raw food is also helpful. One individual dropped his insulin dosage from 60 to 15 units per day by simply increasing his raw food intake. Okay, now let's pause right there. Let me put a little mark here in the margin. He was taking 60 units, and he went on diet and reduced that to 15. Well, okay, that's a big step in the right direction. Could we get off that 15 also? Yep, you can get off the 15. You can reduce that from 60 to 0. Now, he reduced it by 75%. Now, it depends upon how serious you want to get. Now, it's like the little kid they take into the room with a bowl of candy, and they say you can have one piece of candy. But if you take your one piece of candy, you can't have more than one. That's it. But if you don't take any candy, when I come back in an hour, I'll give you 5 pieces. And then they put a camera on this kid, and they watch him. About one kid in 50 can withstand the temptation of the candy bowl on the table. Not very many people can do that. It's just a matter of character, and most of us don't have it. Let's face it. I just can't control my urges. Okay, well, now, when you get pain, suffering, and anguish here now, that's a strong motivator. Now you can control your urges. Pain will help you do that. I can tell you that from experience. But do not eat fruits and melons in large amounts. Do not eat apples or bananas. Do not eat milk and sugar combinations. Coffee can induce very high blood sugar levels. A fat-free diet will help reduce blood sugar. Hell, this is what we got from the scripture to start with. You shall eat no manner of fat. You should have a low-fat diet to start with. You should be eating lots of fruits and vegetables. And you shouldn't be eating prodigious amounts of meat. Gives you diseases, you know. Eat your meals at regular times and do not be rushed to swallow your food. The quicker you eat, the higher goes the blood sugar. Eat raw garlic every day to reduce your blood sugar. Did you know that that's a natural antibiotic and it lowers your blood sugar? Makes your breath smell real bad. Yeah. But it solves your blood sugar problem. Do not take large amounts of niacin, vitamin B3, B1, thiamine, and PABA acid, another B vitamin, or vitamin C, but do take them in normal amounts. Get enough exercise. It'll improve circulation, which is always poor in diabetics. This will also lower your blood sugar levels. Huckleberry helps promote insulin production. Cedar berries help your pancreas. Other helpful herbs include black walnut, echinacea, burdock, buchu, dandelion root, and uva ursa. Listen, there are herbs that you can take that'll make your insulin-producing pancreas work better. So what we do is we make our pancreas produce more insulin, and then we work to lower our blood sugar. And you can do that with diet. I say that's worth $85. If you didn't get anything else out of this but page 369, it's worth the $85. All right, now remember the source now is Home Remedies Encyclopedia. And you're looking for heirloomseeds.com. And that's Baker Creek Seeds, Mansfield, Missouri, 600 pages, $85 they've got. Hey, I'm about out of time again, so I'm going to give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log, schedule, and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. There's the signal, says my time's up. I've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.